You know, Pam and I are dog lovers, and we've been blessed by the dogs that we've had over the years of our marriage. The last two especially, Lady and Scarlet, who were sort of golden brown Cocker Spaniels. And it's just interesting the personalities that these dogs had. I think about some things about Scarlet. Now, she slept on the end of our bed for years, and that's a whole nother story. But we would, during the week, when the alarm would go off, we'd jump up, and Pam had to go to school, and I usually had to go to church. And so Scarlet was getting breakfast and all. But now on Saturday, whenever the alarm would go off, Pam and I'd lay there in the bed side by side and talk about what we're going to have for breakfast and what we're going to do for the day. And in about 2 minutes, Scarlet pops up from her side of the bed, and we're laying there like this, and Scarlet's right across. She's not going to be ignored. It's like, okay, I didn't get all the love I wanted all week. Today, you're going to love on me and pet on me and all everything. Now, during the day when Pam was at school, I'd come in at lunch and have my lunch and sit back in the recliner, going to take a little nap. Next thing I know, Scarlet's in my lap. And she takes a nap while I take a nap. Now, when in the evening, Pam and I sit in my recliner, Pam sits in hers, and Scarlet comes up there, and I say, come on, Scarlet. She looks at me, she looks at Pam, she looks at me, and she jumps in Pam's lap 100 times out of 100. I mean, I'm good enough for her during the day, but at night, she's Pam's dog. Another thing, there'd be times that you'd have your hand on your arm of the chair, or you'd have your hand on your leg, and Scarlet's going to come stick her nose under there so that you'll pet her. And you quit, and you put your hand back. That nose is going back under there and pet her again. And that nose is going to back, you know, as long as you'll keep petting her, and every time you quit, she's going to stick that nose back under your hand, because she wants some love and attention. Now, see, those dogs were rescue dogs. We rescued them out of bad situations. And they were grateful to be loved. And they wanted to be loved, and they wanted to share their love with us. Is it possible we could learn something from a dog? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1 in just a moment. And when you read this, you're going to find out we're not dogs, but we're all, if we're saved, rescues. We've all been rescued. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, you belong to the devil. You're in his kingdom. You're in a miserable situation. You were lost. You were ruled by the devil and the lust of the flesh. You're on your way to hell. But God, in His great mercy and love, reached down and rescued you and put you into His kingdom, put you into a place of love, put you into a place of caring, put you into a place where now your home is heaven and not hell. We are all, if we're saved, rescues. There's not a one of us that we're not on our way to hell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Not a one of us deserved heaven. But God, in His great mercy and in His great love, reached down and rescued you. If you're here and you've never been saved, God wants to rescue you. God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you salvation. God wants to bless you. Rescued. Now, what are we going to do with that rescue? What are we going to... should be the result of it? What would be the wonderful result of it? You know, those puppy dogs wanted to show their love and they just wanted to be in our presence. They wanted to know us. They wanted to fellowship with us in a sense. Could we learn that that's what we need to do with the Lord? God wants our fellowship. God wants our love. God wants our attention. Let's look at some scriptures. Go with me first to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to look at four or five scriptures here right quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 29. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. And if thou seek Him with all thy heart and all thy soul. Moses saying to the children of Israel, listen, starting now, seek the Lord. And if you seek Him with all of your heart and all of your soul, you're going to find Him. Be intense. Be consistent. Be intentional about seeking the Lord with all of your being and you'll find Him. Now I go over to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Sounds about like the song the choir just sang, doesn't it? Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He beautiful? Y'all didn't know what I was going to preach about when you picked that song, did you? But He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He's fantastic. He's Almighty God. He's glorious. He's holy. And the psalmist says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord and to behold, to look at, to stare at the beauty of the Lord. And then go down to verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for your face. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. That's been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Awesome. The psalmist saying, Lord, even my mom and my dad turned their back on me, you won't. Even if your best friend, even if your husband or your wife turns their back on you, he won't. He loves you with an everlasting love. You know, there's another scripture that says, you're tattooed in the palm of God's hand. God's got you in his hand. There's, you know, and then Jesus talking about those that are in the Father's hand, nobody can take them out. Those that are in his hand, nobody can take them out. Even if your father and your mother turn their back on you, praise the Lord won't. Now go with me over to a few pages farther to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And we'll go to verse 5. Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but they who crave and seek the Lord understand it daily or fully. Evil men, he says, don't get it. But those who love the Lord, those who seek the Lord, understand it. Have understanding, have wisdom. Now go with me over to Philippians chapter 3. So we can't just do the Old Testament. But Philippians chapter 3. And Paul's testimony. Verse 10. And Paul testifying, he says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I want to know the Lord. I want to know him. I just don't want to know about him. I want to know him. I really want to know the Lord. And then one more, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, notice, diligently seeking the Lord. Diligently seeking the Lord. You notice how many of these scriptures, they talk about, listen, make it a life goal to seek the Lord. You see, those little puppy dogs, they weren't satisfied just to be fed and watered and walked. They sought us. They wanted to sit in our lap. They wanted our hands to rub their heads. They wanted our attention. And these scriptures and dozens of others that, you know, I won't take your time to look at, that you can look up for yourself, emphasize that we as believers, in being thankful for being rescued from Satan and being rescued from hell, ought to seek the Lord and seek the Lord and seek the Lord until we find him and spend time with him and seek him with all of our being. Now, let me caution you. Seek the Lord for himself and not for what he can do for you. Now, in just a little while, we'll talk about some of the things he can do for you, but seek the Lord for himself and not what he can do for you. Now, there are a lot of folks that seek the Lord because they got their hands out, gimme, gimme, gimme. But seek the Lord for what he can do for you. No, seek the Lord for himself. Now let me, you think about it for real life. From time to time I think about something that happened when I was high school. This is probably 1960. And there's one of the guys, and I think he was a grade or two above me. He had this gorgeous car. I think it was a 57 Chevy. Convertible. Looked like it just came out of the showroom. I mean, you know, he'd drive up and the sun bouncing off that thing would almost blind you. Well, I mean, all the guys were envious. And the girls, they wanted a ride with him. And it wasn't long that he had a special girl that rode with him. And then one Monday we got to class, or got to school, and found out they'd sneaked off that weekend and gotten married. I thought, well, that's cool. Well, they kept coming to church, school. A couple of months later, they wrecked that car. A couple of months later, the marriage was wrecked. Now, I don't know whether they ever got back together or not, but I always wondered, did she marry him or did she marry the car? I mean, I hope they made it. I don't know, but, you know, school was out for the summer, and I never heard any thing, but I always just wondered why she married him. You know, if you're the star quarterback, you always have in the back of your mind, just, she want to go out with me because she really likes me or because I'm the star quarterback. If you're the homecoming queen, you have to wonder, does he want to go out with me because of me or because I'm special? People that have money always have in the back of their minds, does he or she want to date me for me? Or because they think of what they're going to get if they marry me. It's a part of life. You know, they talk about guys that are moving up in the world and they like to have arm candy. You heard that expression? Some good-looking woman, and then once the one they got sort of gets a little age on her, they swap her for a one that's a little younger. In real life, we want to be loved for ourselves. And God wants to be loved for himself. Not for what he can do for us, but he wants to be loved for himself. And all of these scriptures, we need to see, to seek the Lord just so we can love him and he can love us. Now, it's obvious from these scriptures that things are going to happen. Now, how do you seek the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? Well, you know, the 100th Psalm, enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. Praise and worship helps us to seek the Lord. Praise and worship helps us to seek the Lord. Helps us to enter into his presence. Learning, studying his word helps us to enter into his presence. Prayer helps us to enter into his presence. Being quick to obey when he wants to tweak our attitude or tweak our activity, helps us to seek His presence. Meditation, thinking, mulling over what God has said to us through His word, through a sermon, through a song, helps us to seek the Lord. But you notice, to really seek the Lord takes time. Now, it's so easy to say, "Preacher, I'm too busy. I'm too busy." And yet if we have time to do a lot of things that are for ourselves, whether it's hobbies, TV programs, or whatever, then we can make time for the Lord if we wanted to really seek Him. It's a matter of choice. It is a matter of choice. And I don't say there's nothing wrong with hobbies and there's nothing wrong with some TV programs. Some. I told her, you know, we haven't had a TV hooked up till for 3 years, and then we bought one of those little antennas and our son-in-law hooked it up when he was here. I told her, I said, you know, days we don't even turn it on now that we got it. And I told her, I said, you know, the other night she was gone. I thought, I'm going to watch some TV. And the program was dumb and the commercials were stupid. I told her, you know, it looks like the commercials have gotten stupider and stupider since I used to watch TV. I don't know. It's not worth my time. I'm better off seeking the Lord. I'm better off seeking the Lord. That doesn't mean I might not go home and watch a ball game or something this afternoon, maybe. But if we're going to be grateful and thankful and in love with Jesus, we're going to seek Him. We're going to desire with all of our heart to be in His presence. In a sense, we're going to want to curl up in His lap and love Him and let Him love us. Now, the end result is going to be blessing. You see, you have to be consistent and you have to be persistent. But once that, seeking the Lord, it's going to be a blessing. You notice there in Hebrews, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Folks that diligently seek Him are those that are blessed. You remember in this, I believe it's the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, and certain things came up and Jesus taught certain pretty hard truths and a lot of folks left and He turned to the disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" Well, they didn't, and they're the ones that are the blessed. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, talk about 500 people that saw Jesus in His resurrected body. Remember that? But there weren't but 120 in the upper room. Where'd the other 380 go? It was 120 in the upper room that were filled with the Spirit of God and began the marvelous move that became the Christian church. Some sought Him and some didn't. The Apostle John was the one that was said, he leaned on Jesus' breast. In other words, he was going to get as close to Jesus as he could get because he wanted Jesus to know, "I love you. I love you." And the writer says he diligently rewards those. And of course, that's the faith chapter. So our faith grows. Paul said, you know, in that scripture we looked at a moment ago, "I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection." Isaiah 40 talks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. It's just amazing how God seems to bless certain people with strength, with energy, spiritual stamina, year after year after year. But generally, it's people that really seek the Lord. I want to look at one more scripture. James, if you're still there at Hebrews, just turn over a few pages. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now you're sitting right there and saying, what? What? What is he talking about? Well, I don't know personally, but I know a guy that is a fantastic Greek scholar. And here's his translation of that verse. The Spirit has an all-consuming and passionate desire to have more and more of us. In fact, this desire to possess us is so strong that he literally yearns, craves, and pines after us. Let me read it to you again. The Spirit has an all-consuming and passionate desire to have more and more of us. In fact, this desire to possess us is so strong that he literally yearns, craves, and pines after us. God wants fellowship with you. He yearns for it. He craves it. He desires it. He wants more and more of you and more of your presence. And he wants to be more and more to you and more with you. And he wants that love to be so powerful that you and he are in a bond. You and he are in a bond of love. I think about how persistent those little puppy dogs were to get my love. And I say, Ed, you need to be just as persistent and consistent in seeking the love of God. Not just to know about him, not just to know about church, but to know him, to really know him. As we have the invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. He wants to rescue you just like he rescued the rest of us. If you need to come and say, Lord, I've been negligent in seeking you, and you need to talk with me, you need to pray at the altar, would you come? Or if there's some other decision you need to make, we invite you to come.